Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, The Films, Materialists, Sovereign, and The Musicians.
I'd like to start out today by talking about a movie with a somewhat unusual title. It is called Materialists. Not The Materialists, but just Materialists. And it's a good title for this movie, and it's a really interesting movie. In fact, I've got three movies today that I think are very good, so I'm very pleased about that. Materialists is about a woman named Lucy. She is played wonderfully by Dakota Johnson. And Lucy, she works for what's basically a dating app, a dating service, but she calls herself a matchmaker. That's how she thinks of herself. She is someone who helps people find good mates, have great dates, and she and all the other people who work at the agency where she works are all just very thrilled when one of their clients gets engaged or even gets married. They have big celebrations. So they really care about their work and they take it very seriously. But it's not all that easy work, actually. At the very beginning of the film, we have Lucy talking on the phone with a man who's just been on a date. And he is saying that everything was wrong. The woman was older than he had specified that he wanted, and she weighed more than he had specified that she should be, and all of this. And it was just awful. And he never wants to see this woman again. And he doesn't even want to deal with this agency anymore. Then Lucy talks with the young woman who was on the date, who doesn't know anything about this phone call. She had a wonderful time and thinks that all of it went splendidly and can't wait until her next date with this man. So, and then when Lucy has to say she just got off the phone with the guy and he doesn't really want to continue this, then the client is absolutely crushed. And that has repercussions much later in the movie as well. So it turns out that matchmaking, running a dating app, if you really care about this kind of thing, is not all that easy. And that's where a lot of poignancy comes in the movie. Now, what happens is that Lucy meets another person who might be a client. She meets at a wedding, actually. She happens to meet this guy, and his name is Harry, and he's played by Pedro Pascal. And yes, okay, eventually the matchmaker, Lucy herself, starts dating Harry. This is something that's not supposed to happen. She's not supposed to date other people. In fact, she herself regards herself as somebody who is actually at this stage of her life an involuntary celibate. She doesn't date. She doesn't go out with people. She's not looking for a mate just now. Thank you very much. But she starts dating Harry, and then all kinds of things grow out of that as the movie proceeds. Along the way, we meet other people who work at the matchmaking service. We meet various clients along the way, but mainly we follow the growing relationship between Lucy and Harry, and the movie has just all kinds of interesting complications. Now, again, that title, Materialist, is very interesting. Early in the film, somebody asks Lucy, what's it like to be in your line of work? What's it like to be a matchmaker? What's it like to set up dates for people? And she says it's like working in a morgue, or it's like working in an insurance company. And what she means by that is you're gathering information about people. You're gathering statistics. You're gathering facts about the person and then trying to fit them into some sort of a pattern that relates to the kind of work that you do. So it's very materialistic, in other words. And that's a very interesting level of the movie. Now, there's another character I have to mention whose name is John. And he is an old flame of Lucy's when she used to have a real romantic life and she broke up with this guy. He is an aspiring actor, and now he's working for a catering service, and he has hardly any money, and it turns out he's always had hardly any money, and that is a big reason why he and Lucy broke up. Yes, Lucy is something of a materialist, and she broke up with this guy partly because he was always broke. Well, now he comes back into her life, so now she's dating Harry, who, by the way, is fabulously wealthy, but she's also seeing John, the poor, out of work actor, not out of work, but with no money, out of money actor. She's seeing both of these guys, and her materialism is sort of in the middle of all this. Is she going to stay with Harry? Is she going to somehow get back with John despite her materialism? Oh, what an interesting weave of emotions and different kinds of human attitudes we have in this movie. It's a beautifully done movie. I didn't like two things about it. Number one, I know that Pedro Pascal is a great big rising star and everybody's crazy about him. I really did not like looking at him in this movie. And I think he is a real weak link in this movie. I'm sure that many people will disagree with me about that. So don't stay away from the movie because of Pedro Pascal. But for me, he was a real weak link. The other thing is that the very, very, very end of the movie, the last couple of minutes, I just thought put too neat a bow on everything. They tied everything up much too much into the traditional Hollywood ending. So I didn't like that. Aside from that, I liked pretty much everything about Materialist, and I thought that Dakota Johnson as Lucy was just glorious to look at, and I had a great time looking at her and listening to her. Fascinating character, very, very interesting movie. It's kind of an offbeat spin on the rom-com, but it does have some humor in it. But above all, I think it has some real human emotions in it and some real human issues in it. So Materialist, a movie I really very much enjoyed looking at. Good movie. Now, next movie I would like to talk about, which is called Sovereign. Really different. We have a movie now which is written and directed by Christian Swegel, a new filmmaker. And it's a very, very, very interesting movie again. And it's about very, very real things. So our main character this time around, there's two main characters, actually. One of them is Jerry, beautifully played by Nick Offerman. And then there is his young son, who is played by Joe Kane. His name is Jacob. And Jerry is one of these people who thinks of himself as a sovereign citizen. Now, this to me has always seemed to be one of the scariest concepts in fringe politics of today's America. He is one of these people who regards himself as a personal sovereign. In other words, he sees himself as a law unto himself. He recognizes no other authority, no other law, no other rules, no other regulations, nothing but what he himself is willing to recognize. He feels a sovereign citizen. And he has a teenage son, his young son, whose name is Joe, and who is just trapped in this. And Joe is kind of believing a lot of the stuff that his father teaches him. Joe is being homeschooled, of course. And so he has no real other sources of information. He sort of believes this stuff, but at the same time, he's skeptical about somebody. He would like to go to school. He would like to be a more normal kind of a kid. And that's definitely a tension with his father. But there he is. He's really trapped with his father. And so the two of them travel around together. Jerry, what he does to earn a living, he used to be a roofer, but now he's out of work in that area. So now he travels around and he gives seminars. He gives training sessions. And he talks to people, real Americans who have come into horribly hard times in their lives. They can't pay the rent. They can't pay the mortgage. They're out of a job. There's been some sort of a terrible accident. And yes, the system is treating them very, very badly. And so Jerry gives them advice and tells them about what it is to be really in charge of your own life and really in charge of your own fate. And some of the things he tells them make sense. And a lot of the things he tells them are really, really, really crackpot stuff. I'll just mention one part of Jerry's philosophy. He believes that all the stuff that's on paper, all the stuff that says you owe money, all the stuff that says you have contracts to do this, to pay your rent, to pay your mortgage, to do your job, whatever it is, that's not you. That's what Jerry calls the straw man. And so none of that is real. The only thing that's real is the real you. And the real you is somehow different from the you that's on paper. And well, anyway, it is, again, crackpot stuff. But Jerry seems to really believe it. And a lot of the people he talks to feel that they would like to believe it because their lives have been going in such terrible directions already. And then caught in the middle of all this is that young son, Joe. Now, there's also another father-son pair in the movie, a police officer, police detective, a pretty high-up guy, played by the wonderful Dennis Quaid, and his son. who is a young father and has a new baby. And in that family, the big conflict comes because the father, played by Dennis Quaid, believes that the son picks up the baby too often just because the baby's crying and you should be tougher on that kid. And the baby is not going to grow up the right way if you keep picking up the baby when the baby cries. So that's the big conflict in their lives. Other than that, they are police officers and they follow the law. The father and son, both cops, and they're both big believers in the rule of law. And of course, they come into contact with Jerry and Joe. And well, I won't tell how the whole thing turns out, but it's pretty explosive movie in the long run. There are action scenes in Sovereign, but that's to me, those are not what the movie is about. The movie is very, very much about this particularly, to me, scary kind of fringe politics and what it can do to people and what the outcomes of such kind of thinking and such kind of behavior and such kind of operating in the world can cause. So again, I think Sovereign is a really good movie and an important movie, and I really, really recommend it. One of the very best politically oriented movies I've seen in a long time. And a good movie, Sovereign. Streaming, and Materialist is also streaming. They're easy to find. I recommend them both. And I recommend our third movie, which is now a French movie called The Musicians, Les Musiciens, or The Magicians. Just what a nice, interesting movie this is. And I give it a couple of extra points because it's one of those rare movies that is about high culture. But don't worry, it's not a ponderous movie or a deeply intellectual movie. It's a very enjoyable and very human movie, which happens to be about the world of classical music. So there is a woman named Astrid, played by Valerie Donzelli. And she runs a foundation that her father used to run before he died. And one of the things that she's doing is trying to fulfill a dream that her father had. She is getting together four really, really rare ancient instruments, not that ancient, several hundred years old, a couple of violins, a cello, a viola, which have never been brought together before. And the idea is that these instruments will now be played. A new string quartet will be played on these instruments and it will be recorded. So that's what it is. Astrid brings together these four instruments, which is very, very difficult to do, but she manages the trick. She gets them into one place. And then they have to get a quartet to play these instruments. Now, a string quartet, if it's a good one, if it's a real one, a professional one, they play together for years and years and they play beautifully together because they know each other's musical personalities so well. That is not the case here. A couple of the members of this quartet, which is assembled for this purpose, used to play together years ago, and then they had a falling out, and they don't get along anymore. Some of the others have never met each other or even heard of each other before. One of them is a very, very young woman without big deal conservatory training. But there they are. Astrid has gotten them together, and they're all going to be out in the country staying in this old country house because the recording is going to take place in this church nearby, which has wonderful acoustics. And they're going to play a new string quartet by a living composer named Charlie Beaumont. And then eventually, because the quartet is just somehow not gelling, Astrid manages to get Charlie to come out to the villa too and work with the members of the quartet, who he's never even heard of before. And the next thing you know, they're all working together in that chateau and various different kinds of human conflicts emerge. It's basically a story about what it's like to work with other people who are true artists, who truly care about their art, who are truly committed to their art, but there are different ages, there are different personalities, and they're all sort of stuck together in one big old house for a while. And that's what the movie's about. It takes place not only in the house, it takes place in other locations as well. But that's the basic setup for the movie. So it's just a really, really nice movie with real human emotions, real human activities, real human interactions. There are some things that happen along the course of the movie that when they happened, I realized, oh, I should have seen this one coming. I'll just give one example. Yes, somebody drops a violin on the floor and it cracks open. So is that going to ruin everything? We're supposed to be recording tomorrow. So that's, maybe the kind of thing that happens in a movie. But then again, this is a movie. And you know, what happens is it doesn't turn into a big melodramatic deal. It actually is dealt with pretty efficiently and pretty smoothly. And things come out okay. So things like that happen along the way that perhaps are a bit movie-esque. But again, this is a movie, and it's just a really, really nicely done movie. The movie has lovely music in it, not too much. It's not like sitting and listening to a concert. The music is serious music, but it's also a contemporary kind of classical music. I found it quite rhythmic and quite bouncing and quite interesting to listen to when it was being played. And we have these different people, all with their different kinds of commitment to the same kind of music, interacting with each other. And it's just a really, really nice movie. So it's one of the few French movies that has come down the pike lately in American theaters. And I'm very, very glad it's here. I really, really welcome it. And I really do think that the filmmaker, Grégory Magne, who directed it and co-wrote it, is someone to watch because I just think it's a really good picture. And again, I'm giving it a couple of extra points because it's about high culture, but it is not a high, ponderous, difficult kind of a movie. It's a very engaging, enjoyable picture, and I recommend it. Les musiciens, the musicians, bunch of French musicians playing their stringed instruments together, and I just had a good time watching it. So that is my somewhat musical story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Materialists, Sovereign, and The Musicians.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.